So this morning, I want to take this time to talk about praise and worship, what the effect of praise and worship has in our lives. Remember, the enemy doesn't want you to praise. The enemy doesn't want you to, when I say praise, I'm talking about, you know, I can never understand. I mean, you know me, my character, I'm muchness, okay? I'm muchness for those of you who knows me. Since the Lord saved me, I'm happy as can be. How does it go? Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup is full and running over. Seriously. Since the Lord saved me, I am as happy as can be. Because it's not because I don't have issues. It's not because I don't face trials and tribulation. But it's because of the presence of the Lord. And I understand praise is the weapon that silences the enemy. Praise, you know, I mean, football season is getting ready to start, and I know a lot of you are excited for those of you watching football, but it always, I don't have a team, but I watch it just to interact with my sons, and it's a good communication thing, you know, during season football, people are always talking about football. But the most exciting thing is like when the last 4 minutes in the game, and then you see the team that weren't doing well, and then this guy just running, and everybody's like, what? Yeah, get up! Yeah, you go! I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, some of you do it, you know, and, you know, it's like you were sitting down, you're sitting at the edge of your seat, you're like, yeah, let's go! Yeah, touchdown, right? You rooting for your team. Team Jesus. We should never shy to root for Team Jesus. So when I say, you know, when we come here and we sing, you know, some of the songs we were singing are for praise. And I tell you, that's one culture I want to kind of encourage here. It's the culture of praise. The culture of being muchness for Jesus. The culture of being, you know, we're not, I mean, some people would ask, you know, what's your denomination? I don't really have a denomination, you know. I follow Jesus. We love Jesus. Jesus told us, you know, he's going to go to the Father. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, we receive power, dynamite, to be witness for God. So therefore, we believe in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We love God. We love the Bible. I don't know. So really, in reality, Jesus says a true religion is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and then do not let the world corrupt you, and then be merciful to the orphans and the widows. That's our religion. Okay? So, praise and worship ushers in the presence of the Lord. You know, even like for those of you that serve in ushering. You know the privilege you have to be the first two people anybody comes here to the encounter? It's amazing. Like, for those of you ushers, when for Saturday night, you should be like me. You should be in prayer. During the week, when you know you're going to usher people in the house of the Lord, you should be like, okay, when you come here at 9 o'clock, you pray or walk. You're like, you know, Holy Spirit, we pray that your presence would encounter people. We pray that the joy of the Lord would manifest in this place. Lord, I pray as people, even I'm giving you ushers ideas. You know, when you stand up there, you're not just standing up there and waiting for somebody to come in. You are ushering them in the presence. And seriously, I've heard a story of one guy who gave his life to the Lord because he went to a church and he was greeted by this awesome usher. And he said, you know what? I just want to come back to see the guy. In reality, it is true. There's fullness of joy in the house of the Lord. I tell you, even for us playing music for God shouldn't be boring. You know, you see people going in the bar, they're playing out there, they're having fun, you know, like, yes, you know, the guy's like, he's playing the guitar, you know, he's doing his thing, right? And then, you go to church, you see a bunch of boring people. Jesus. They look like they're playing in funeral. It shouldn't be. The most fun should be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because I am forgiven. I tell you. And the enemy, he twisted things, he pervert things, and he makes us think, because we're singing for the Lord. Yes, God is a serious God. But he's Abba. I take delight in his presence, right? So as a priest, I take delight in the Lord's presence. So therefore, I enjoy what I'm doing. And I always tell my team, if we're singing and playing, we're not having fun. We're not doing it right. You should be having fun. When we read the Bible, we know that God is everywhere, present, everywhere, all the time, through his spirit. There is, however, a special manifestation of his tangible presence, which is described in many places in the Bible. This special time of visitation, which is unique in certain situations. This is what I mean. We come here, we sing. Yeah, that's worship. But if we just sing and we go out there, we live our lives outside of the fear of the Lord, we're doing lip services. But living a life of worship is holding God in top priority in everything we do. You know, Kendra was saying Friday we pray. I mean, I don't know. Maybe sometimes we would do it. But once a month, we call a corporate prayer. You shouldn't come here if you have nothing to do. You should put that top priority. Because everything that's a priority in your life, you will find time for it. And I have a witness. Thank you for this. Is amen. It is. Amen means yes, that's right. Yeah, come on. Help me out, guys. Yeah. Top priority. Top priority. Because if you don't put spending time with God a priority in your life, you'll never spend time with God. Why? Because you work, kids, husband, dog, cat, cars, what else? Couch, house cleaning, garden, you know. If you don't put God as top priority, it will never happen. Now, how do I know? You say, well, pastor, this is what you do. You know, this is my life. I'm a pastor. It's my life. Church is my life. But I'm telling you, even being in full-time ministry, if I don't put spending time with God as a top priority, guess what? I'm just reading the Bible to preach. I'm just singing. That's the difference. I'm just singing to lead worship. And then that's how you become dry. But then when I go to the presence, when I make spending time with Father a top priority, you know what happened? I go, he ministered to me and him. We've got this awesome relationship. And everything else flows out of that. Oh, yeah. Because then as a son of God, as a son, I am in relationship with my Father. So therefore, I'm walking in favor with him. Everything else flows from that. Are you guys with me? So praise and worship, as we've been talking about this for almost 2 months now with many different angles, the enemy doesn't want us to praise. The enemy doesn't want you to shout glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy doesn't want you to do that. The enemy doesn't want you to get loud. Yeah. You know, some of you might not be can't be as loud as I am. It's okay. But that still gives you no reason not to shout glory to God. Oh, Jesus, you are awesome. This morning I wake up, I'm feeling frustrated. But God, I give you glory. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you exaltation. I acknowledge you sitting on the throne. That's it. The enemy doesn't want you to do that. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let your praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. That's why when we come here, when you're at home, you shout the Lord's praise. Listen to what it says in Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, God inhabits the praises of his people. It says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praise. And I'll say it right there, you are the one God restoration praise. God is the one that we praise. He's the one, and I tell you, you live your life, every day situation, you live with this mindset. God inhabit. You know, the word inhabit from the Greek is yashav. Don't try to repeat that. I probably butcher in it. If you're speaking Hebrew, don't worry, okay? I'm just trying. But it means to come in, to sit down, to take up residence. God take residence. That's why when the presence of the Lord is in a place, for those of you who knows God's presence, it's just like you know good food. You know, for those of you who knows how to eat good food, like boiled plantain, breadfruit. You know, you thought I was going to say pizza, weren't you? Once in a while you have pizza, okay? But if you want to eat good food, you eat your salad, you know. Right, Xavier? Your boiled plantain, you know. Potatoes, sweet potatoes, you know, good chicken, whatever, you know. But for those of us who knows how to eat good food, when you eat bad food, your mouth says it, taste it, because you know what's good. And it's the same thing when you've encountered the presence of the Lord. When you go somewhere where the presence is not there, you know. At the same time, when you go to a place, the press, or when you talk, have you ever met someone in the store, on the street, wherever you are, and you know they don't have a worshiper title? They're not wearing a shirt that says, I love Jesus. But your spirit, bear witness to their spirit. You see, the same thing. Sometimes you go to a place and you meet somebody. Your spirit bear witness, their spirit is perverted. Their spirit is dark. And their spirit is bearing witness that they don't share the same spirit with you. When you walk to a place, you carry a presence. Remember this. That's why I walk. I don't walk like, when I walk to a place, I don't walk like a defeater. I mean, that's not a word. This is more, a conqueror. Defeat. Defeat. I don't walk as someone who has been defeated. There you go. See, I'm still learning my English. Thank you for your patience. You don't walk like you don't walk in a place that someone has been defeated. You carry yourself as a conqueror. Why? I am a conqueror. The enemy wants us to live in the defeated mindset. But I am not defeated because I stand, like we sang earlier. We pray Jesus is our anchor. We stand on him. Our corporate worship and praise prepare the throne for our king. And let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. Worship and praise ushers in the presence of the Lord. Verse 11. Now, you guys can go home and read verse 1 to 11 because there's a good story there. But I want you to read this. I want to focus on this, what happened. It says, the priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves, regardless of their division. And I'm going to put this in our context. For example, the people that sing with me, praise with us. My challenge, I mean, I live with my kids, so I always constantly working with them. But anybody else that helps in worship ministry, you need to understand you're not just singers, you're priests. So this ministry here is not just a worship team ministry. It's a Levitical ministry team. So we minister to the presence of the Lord. If we can't come together and minister to the presence of the Lord, then do you know what we do? We perform. We just sing songs. But when we come, we can minister to the presence of God. The first thing we do, we consecrate ourselves. Because we're not just playing music. God has a standard. So as a worshiper, a worship leader, as Alyssa as a worship leader, her life must be holy. Her life must be pleasing to God. Her lips in everyday action must be pleasing to God. Her life with her friends, school, whatever she does at work, must be. It says they had consecrated themselves regardless of their division. So therefore, we're not going to stay up here, back there as well. For Inge, I mean, put your hands together for Inge for me, please. Thank you, Inge. You know, and not only her, it's like we've got a team of people that does it once every other week. That's really good. But those people back there, the camera person, see that? Because sometimes you see, oh, well, it's just a pastor, you know. But no, it's we are priests. So what they're doing back there with the camera, with the computer, it's a service unto the Lord. So let's keep reading. Verse 12, it says, all the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their son and relatives, stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen, and playing what? Harps and lyres. They were accompanied by what? 120 priest-sounding trumpets. So you think worship to praise to God is too loud? We think again. Oh, man, it's too loud. Now, believe me, sometimes it can be too loud, okay? I'm not discarding someone that think it's too loud. No, that's not. And we try. We're working. You know, we're trying sometimes. Sometimes it's me and Dan back in front of here. We don't really have a sound person back there. And things run out of control. And it's kind of get too loud. You know, it's like, wow, hey, praise God. You know, bear with us, okay? But this is what I'm saying here. God's instruction. Guys, 120 priests sounding trumpets. Keep going. Verse 12, and then the trumpeters and the musicians join in unison. Unison means together playing skillfully. To give what? Guys, I'm reading this week and I'm picturing the orchestra. The beauty. Not only that, but also the loudness of praise being raised to God. So let's get loud for the Lord. Yeah. You know, the word muchness we studied a couple weeks ago has nothing to do with being obnoxious. Because some people, they're not just muchness, they're obnoxious. You don't want to be obnoxious for the Lord. You want to be much. You want to have self-control. You want to have a voice. You don't want to be so shy for Jesus. For the Spirit of the Lord has given us is not a spirit that makes us timid. But the Spirit of God gives us is a spirit of boldness. That Spirit, the Holy Spirit, makes you bold. It gives you power. It makes you want to talk. It makes you want to sing. Oh, man. And then not only that, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, a banjo. And then it says the singers raise their voices in praise to the Lord and sing what? He is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. What do they sing? And when you read Revelation, and God is giving the Levites, the priests, an instruction, he said, this is what's happening in heaven. That's why I always tell our team, we as a Levitical team, it's a privilege we have to praise God. It's a privilege you have to sing glory to Jesus. Because he doesn't really need your praise. Believe me, when I come here and I'm singing for the Lord, I'm not doing God any favor. It's not like, you know what, God, I'm mad at you, so I'm not playing. Really? He doesn't need me. It's a privilege. Man, what a privilege I have to sing for Jesus. I can never understand it sometimes when people think, well, I'm so mad at God, I'm just going to quit. Really? God doesn't need your service. You need it more. You need to serve God more than you think He needs your service. I'm frustrated. I'm not singing. If you're frustrated, get things right. Keep singing. When you're frustrated, you're not singing. That's the trap of the enemy. When you're frustrated, you want to quit, and you quit. That's you're walking exactly in the plane of the enemy. That's not the will of God for you. The will of God for you is for you to continue to experience His glory. Continue to sing His praise. He is good. His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord. I like this. Because under the new covenant, this word right there means my heart. It says, then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, meaning His presence. Then my heart, guys, keep singing. Keep shouting. You know, you might not be so much like me, but start shouting under your breath, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah, yes. Oh, Jesus, I praise Your name today. Lord, I praise You right now. I praise You. I don't know. Today's been a terrible day, but Lord, I praise You right now. Oh, I don't. Lord, what bad news. Well, let's go to Acts chapter 16. Because I'm going to give you a good example. We're going to finish with this story. Acts chapter 16. We're going to read that story. I'll give you two homework today. You can go and read 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. I just read 11 to 14 to you. And then you can go home and read Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 40. But I'm going to pick from this chapter here just for the sake of time. I'm going to read from the New Living the NIV. You know, the first verse, the verse 1 to 5, we see that Timothy joined Paul and Silas. There's so much in there, we're not going to read it. And from verse 6, we're going to see from verse 6 to 10, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia. Paul and his companion traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit. Now, you should underline that in your Bibles. It says, Paul had a plan to go to a certain place, but they got prevented. They stopped. They were stopped by the Holy Spirit. Wow. The Holy Spirit told them no. And then that takes me to a very important point in my studies yesterday. I realized it takes courage and determination to obey God. Let me tell you, remind you, obeying God is not for the weak. Thank you for that, yes. Obeying God, think about it. Everybody would obey God. It cost Jesus Christ everything on the cross to give us access to Father. What do you think it's going to cost you to have access to Him? Everything. Now remember, it's not by might, it's not by power. You don't have to do anything, but you must give everything, meaning you must surrender. Unless you surrender, you won't see God. Unless you totally surrender. You see, now in surrender, I find peace. In surrender, I'm not striving anymore. In surrender, I experience victory. In surrender, I am able to forgive. In surrender, I got the willpower by the Holy Spirit to choose what's right. Anybody here with me? Oh, let me just read the story because it's like I could go so much in there. There's so much in there, but I'm just going to read it and then we'll go verse by verse. When they came to the border of, let me read from the verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bethania, however you say that. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I'm gonna encourage some of the cell leaders to really take this part of verse right there, verse by verse, and talk about it in our cells. Because there's so much. Paul wanted to go here. The Holy Spirit told them, you can't go there. And then he had a vision, you must go here. Talking about being led, living a life by led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, from Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went on to the Neapolis. Man, I tell you, those words. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and leading city that the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a leader in purple cloth. She was selling purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. Underline that word. How did they know she worshiped God? So she was selling in the market purple cloth, but then the testimony about her was she was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. As there's another word, you must underline that in your Bible. You see, when you live a life of worship, meaning in reverent, when you reverent God, you respect God. You respect his presence in everything you do. That automatically opens your heart to receive his word. When you're not living in the fear of the Lord, guess what's going to happen? You want to reason with everything. It's like sometimes the Lord wants, you know, it's just like, let's take something very simple. It says, children, honor your father and your mother. Do you know how hard it is to honor a bad parent? It's very hard. I have one of them. But because I live a life of worship, that's now I get it. I don't negotiate. I'm going to honor my parents. Doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. Forgiveness. You can dress a list of things they've done wrong to you. And you can have everybody else agree with you they're wrong. But the word of God says to forgive. What am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to choose to forgive them because I live a life of worship. You know, there's so much right there because I went and studied the life of this lady. It wasn't when they said she was a worshiper of God. She had a testimony. Now, can people see that your life, you live a life of worship? Can your co-workers or people you encounter on a daily basis, can they see that you are a worshiper of God? Well, I pray that they can see because they will see something. And I pray that you and I can continue to have the same testimony. Because when we do, the rest of the verse happen in our lives. The Lord opened her heart. And this morning, I pray the same thing. I've been praying this over you in the past week. I say, God, I pray every time I bring your word, Lord, I'm begging, Lord. I said, Jesus, do not let me speak just to speak. But at the same time, let this happen in their lives. Open their hearts so they can receive it. Because if the Lord does not open your heart to receive it, you're going to fight me. I pray that the Holy Spirit open your heart. Because when your heart is open, guess what? You're like, yes, it hurts. You know, it's like I had this thing in on my hand. It needs to be removed. And then I went to the doctors. They came out with this needle. I'm like, oh, needle. But then I know the needle is going to help me. It's painful. They poked the thing and I'm like, ah. I'm glad some of you weren't here. It was very painful. They poke me in here and then put some kind of liquid in there. They hurt it to make it feel better. They hurt it. And the nurse was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, man, guys, I don't do needles, okay? But then after she was done, it still hurt. And then maybe like 30 seconds later, I didn't feel it. And then she came with something and just cut it, bled, and then they, you know, taped it and fixed it. And then now my hand's back together. And it's like, yes, that's what the Lord does to us. See, sometimes you think, well, I don't want this needle. I don't want this operation. But listen to me. It's for our good. It's to restore you. It's to restore you. You want to live a life of worship. And then, verse 15, when she and the other members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her house. There's another great example here. When you live a life of worship, you'll understand hospitality. Listen, there's a shirt, I've seen people wear it. And if you have one, I would counsel you, don't wear it. It goes like this. I used to love people, but people ruined it for me. In reality, it is right. It is true. But when we live a life in reverence, a life of fear, in fear of the Lord, you cannot stop loving people, even if they ruin loving people for you. So even, I mean, it's a joke. Please, don't joke like that. I used to love people, but people ruined it for me. Don't wear those shirts, because you're not like that. You're a follower of Jesus. You're a worshiper of the living God. You live a life by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, whatever people do to you, guess what? You always give them a hand. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. You never close up your eyes. I mean, your heart. Never close up your heart. Don't leave it open. That's what Jesus did with us. You know? And she, Lydia, give us a good example in this verse. She received the message. She was worshiping the Lord, but she also understand hospitality. Don't leave your life. Invite people home for dinner. This whole American mindset, individualistic mindset, where everybody think they can do church behind a screen, that's deception. You can't do church. You cannot forsake the assembly of the saint. I have talked to people. I say, why do you go to church? Maybe she's watching here. God bless you. I love her. I already had this conversation with her. Good. She comes to my soaking. I have some faithful attendees for soaking. But I've never seen them here on Sunday morning. So finally, there's one of them. I'm like, you know what? So yeah, it's so good to see you. You know, I've been seeing her and stuff. I said, where do you go to church? Oh, she says, I don't go. I do online. And then I asked the question. I said, why? She's been hurt. She's staying away from people. Oh, yeah. God bless her. I prayed with her. And I said, okay, that's good. I didn't say that's good. I said, well, I'm going to challenge you there. You know what the word says. And you know that's not right. But I understand your position. I understand where you're at. So I'll be praying for you, for the Lord to deliver you. Because believe me, when we hurt, what do we want to do? We want to cut everybody off. You know what? It's because I let you in, you hurt me like that, but guess what? I'm closing shop. Now it's me and me, myself and I. You know, we're having a good time. Can't be. You and yourself and I, I don't get it. You need the body of Christ. You need the common unity community. You need that. We need it. You need it. It's a deception in people's mind when they think, well, they don't need the church. You know, that's why we say here, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Yes, we are your leaders. Yes, you've got cell leaders. God set other people. But please don't look at me. Jesus is it. I pray that he holds me till the end. That I don't do anything stupid and dumb. But if I become weak, please remain in Jesus. Because sometimes people hold other people or leaders so high on a pedestal, and they're like, how can this happen? They're human. That's why you don't give a foothold to the enemy. Don't give a foothold. When you see he's trying to whip him, you kick him out. And if you can't do it by yourself, you confess. You find somebody and you confess that sin. They pray for you. Someone that can hold you accountable. I told you, there's so much in this. And then verse 16 says, when we were going to the place of prayer, we met with a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. That's witchcraft. I've seen that. She was doing palm reading. You know, she was predicting the future, reading, telling people about their lives. She earned great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. And I pray none of you gets into that stuff. Watch what you watch at home. Do not give a foothold to the enemy through TV, through shows you watch in your house. Be careful. Verse 17, she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God. Was she speaking the truth? Yes, she was. They are telling you the truth, the way to be saved. She kept up this many days. Finally, Paul became annoyed and turned around and said to her, get out of her. Paul had a spirit of discernment right there. He realized, okay, this lady, she's not operating under the spirit of God. She was speaking the truth, you know? But Paul was like, I don't want this. He had the revelation, this is not right. And he told the spirit, get out of her. By the authority of the name of Jesus, get out of there. And then when the owner realized what had happened, verse 20, they brought them before the magistrate and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating custom unlawful to us women to accept. The crowd joined in attack against Paul. Now, guys, remember, Saul and his crew, they are on a journey for the Lord. Remember, not only that, he obeyed God to go here. That wasn't his plan. Long story short, go to verse 25. Long story short, Paul and his people got arrested. Verse 24. When he received these orders, who received the order? The jailer, the chief of the jail. When we received this order, he put Paul and his companions, fastened their feet into stocks. About midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaking. At once, all the prison doors flew open. And everyone's chain, not only their chain, but everyone in that prison's chain fell, came loose. The jailer woke up, and then when he saw the doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Saul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sir, what must I do to be saved? Now remember, I'm talking about living a life of worship and praise and why the enemy doesn't want you to praise God. Now listen to this. The question for you, what would you do if you'd be in Paul's situation? What do you think you would do? Let's see what happened to him here. Paul was far from home. He chose to obey God. He was on a mission to love those people. But he got beaten, thrown in jail. And those guys, when they beat you, they give you 40 minus one spanking. And they use whip. They use like lassos to spank them. So here is Saul. I can... Some of us, we would start complaining. This wasn't my plan. This is not what I wanted to do. I wanted to go over here. But Lord, you sent me, you brought me over here. I wanted to go over there, but you brought me here. And then now I get beat up. Your feet are in stocks. Your hands are in chains. Your back is bloody. They throw you deep. It says in the inner prison, you know what else is there? Rats. It smells. It's dark. I could see some of us start crying. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Why? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Life is miserable. I'm going to die. What did he do? I have decided I follow Jesus. I have decided. Come on, Silas, help me out. Follow Jesus. This was Saul. In his situation, what is he doing? Shouting, shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street. Oh, I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. Where is he at? Is he blessed? He's not blessed. According to our mind, you're thinking, would Paul have a reason to be singing, I'm so blessed? That's what he was doing, guys. He was singing, I'm so blessed. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. Trouble coming at my door today. I ain't gonna let it. Yeah, Paul. Yeah, right. You're not gonna let trouble in. You're in deep trouble. You're really in trouble right now. You are deep in jail. You just got beaten. You're in trouble, buddy. You don't know what's coming for you tomorrow. Let me tell you. Praise is the weapon that silences the enemy. Your praise is the weapon that shakes the foundation of trouble in your life. That's why the enemy wants to cut your voice up. He wants to take your voice. He wants to take your shout. But you see what happened when you shout his praise. When you live a life of worship, not only your chains will be broken, but the chains of people surround you. Do you know that there are other people's freedom that depends on you being set free? Oh my goodness, I pray you get this. Listen. There are some people, they will never experience their freedom until you're free. You're like, really? Yes, really. This story tells us, if Paul wasn't paying attention, he said, if his focus wasn't right, he would sleep in misery, wake up in misery. There's so much here, guys. And I pray that you go and read it. Walking in obedience is not for the weak. I asked Alyssa, the worship team, to come up. Working in obedience is not for the weak. It takes strong conviction. It takes a determination. It does take a determination to walk in obedience. Walking in obedience doesn't come automatically. It takes a choice. You know, I want to give you a couple minutes to respond to this message. I could go... There is so much here. I don't know where else it's going to go next week. But seriously, it's like, I pray that your heart is open to receive this. What is God saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit is telling you right now? And I want to give time for us to respond. You know, come to the altar. Come to Jesus. If anybody needs prayer, whatever you need to do with you and the Lord right now, let's do that. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. We have made a decision here last week. We confessed it. We said we choose you. Earlier we prayed we choose you. But Father, I thank you that you're calling us deeper. Thank you that you're calling us higher with you. I don't know which area in your life the enemy is just striving to take back. And you striving to be in line as well. But this morning, I believe the Lord, He's speaking to you. Would you respond to His word?